welcome to this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from Endscreen Media is on the line with me as always. Hi there, Colin.
Hi there, Will. So I've been completely obsessed with the World Cup for the last week and a half.
Suffering a lack of productivity there, Colin?
Oh, a big lack of productivity. And we've got to get done with the podcast because England is playing soon. So,
well, let's not let, you know, important things like that interfere with our podcast, right?
Oh, well, no, quite the reverse. I know where my values are.
Exactly. So you like England all the way or what?
I don't know about I like England all the way, but they're playing well and the competition has, the tournament's just been fabulous. Lots of great games, lots of upsets and excitement. So if you're at the soccer uninitiated, drop in on a couple of the games. Perhaps not today, but there's going to be some great games this weekend, particularly on Saturday. So check it out.
I have to admit I'm among the uninitiated as an American. It's still not really resonating with me, but perhaps as we get down toward the final, it'll start getting more on my radar.
Yeah, indeed. And once again, as the listeners know, I'm not a traditional pay TV user anymore. And I've been scattering my viewing across the three virtual MVPD services I have. And I've got to say, plaudits to them. Everything works the way it should. And we're kind of going to be talking about that a little bit this morning because you wrote about some new research from Magid. So why don't you catch us up? What did Magid have to say about the pay TV business?
That's right, Colin. Today's topic, we want to talk about some new research from Magid about cord cutting. And then we want to talk about a new pricing increase from Sling TV and also some new flexibility that they've created in their service, and talk more generally about some of the trends that we're seeing in the industry related to this all important topic of cord cutting, which you and I have obviously talked about many times before in the podcast. But cutting to the Magid research. So last week they announced the results from their media consumption survey 2018. This is a survey that they've been doing for many years now, and of note was that 7.9% of pay TV subscribers age 18 to 64 years old said they were extremely likely to cancel their service in the next 12 months. That was up from 6.1% in 2017, and worth noting that if you reach all the way back to 2013, So 5 years ago, that number was at 2.7%. So we've seen a pretty healthy increase in that number over these past 5 years. And it should also be mentioned that while that number overall is 7.9% for 18 to 64, it's actually 14% for millennials saying that they plan to cut the cord. And in addition, 10% of live sports enthusiasts said they were very likely to cut the cord. So certainly rising interest in cutting the cord. Interestingly, though, the primary reason cited for cutting the cord was not that pay TV is too expensive. That's traditionally been the number one reason. Instead, the number one reason was I don't watch enough TV to make it worth it. That was cited by 29% of respondents. And then there were three reasons that were cited that fell into the number two reason. The number two factor for potentially cutting the cord. Those included, I can watch the TV shows and movies I like on the internet. I'm satisfied with what I can receive over the air. And I'm satisfied with online streaming options on my TV from services like Netflix and Hulu. All three of those were cited by 27%. Then finally, you get to the it's too expensive reason, which was cited by 25%. So some shifting there in the traditional view on why people are interested in cutting the cord, but no question the intention is definitely up. Worth mentioning though, Colin, that despite the higher cord cutting intention, Magid found that 76% of U.S. households continue to subscribe to pay TV. That was the exact same as 2017. I think we did not confirm this with Magid, but I think we both believe that stability is attributed to the subscriptions now to skinny bundles, which is probably 5 to 6 million homes, right?
That's exactly right. That's some pretty interesting numbers, Will. And what I did was I just stepped back into TiVo's last video trends report, which was released earlier this year for Q4 2017. So this is for the previous quarter to the Magid numbers. And they asked their survey group, do you plan to change cable satellite TV providers in the next 6 months? And they sort of broke those out into groups. And there was the group that said that they were planning to cut, and that was 7.3%. But there was also a group that said that they were planning to switch to an online app or rental service, which was 5.7%. So you add those two together and you end up with 13%. So this is a little bit higher. And I will say that those planning to cut increased year over year quite strongly in the TiVo numbers. It looked like it was about 5% in the previous year and went up to 7.3%. In Q4 of 2017. That increase was over one quarter. So it looks like that was a pretty big change. And I don't know, the thing that really caught my eye with those numbers, Will, was the 10% of live sports enthusiasts. Because if you think back 2 years ago, one of the things that you really couldn't do if you were a sports enthusiast was drop pay television, because it was the only way you could really get a lot of the sports that you were interested in. And so it's kind of interesting to me that so many sports enthusiasts think they can get rid of traditional pay TV. And I got to believe that this is the impact of virtual MVPDs, right? Because for just $25, you can get a Sling TV subscription and get ESPN, or you can get their Sling Blue package, also $25, and that's got all the Fox Sports channels as well as regular Fox all bundled in. So if you're a World Cup fan, that's probably the best deal right there, $25, and you can watch all the World Cup you want on Sling Blue. So it's got a, it's certainly seems to me that the virtual MVPDs are enabling a big change in the way people think about their pay television, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, Magid also had a number on this, which was that it found that 55% of consumers, 55% of respondents said they're interested in subscribing to a skinny bundle. That was up from 44% in 2017. 35% said that they're very interested. So 55% interested, 35% very interested. Millennials said 60% of millennials said they were very interested. So I think to your point, people are starting, there's an increasing awareness of these lower priced skinny bundles and what they include, even to the point, as you said, including live sports. And that's starting to soften up people's attitudes toward hanging on to traditional pay TV. Now, I think there's a broader argument, a broader discussion, you know, which we want to have about whether you're still a pay TV subscriber, even if you're a skinny bundle subscriber. But before we get to that, Colin, Sling TV, as you mentioned earlier, they've now revamped their service a little bit, bumped up their price, no surprise. Maybe just take us through what they've done and let's put that into context.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, we should say that Sling TV launched about 4 years ago, they launched at a $20 price point for over 20 channels. They've held steady at that price for all of that time, and today they just announced that they're bumping the price to $25, and you get about 30 channels for your $25. And that said, they're still the cheapest way that you can get ESPN online without having to go for a more fuller traditional pay television subscription. So that's the first thing. They're bumping the price of Sling Orange, that is. Interestingly, they're not increasing Sling Blue, which is the Fox and Anchored package, which is also $25. And they're also not increasing the price of the two together, which is still $40. So that's still a good deal. But the other thing they're doing, and I really like this, Will, I think this is a really smart play on their part. They're doing two things. They're first of all, they're rolling free content into the bundle. So what that means is that you don't need to have a subscription to anything to be able to watch some content on the platform. And so what that means is you come and you can log into the app and you can watch some stuff I'm looking at the picture they have here, and they're saying you can watch shows like Wrecked, At Home with Amy Sedaris, Good Behavior, Flip and Flop, and a whole bunch more. They say they have 100 hours of popular TV shows and movies. And in addition, you can also do pay-per-view. So they've been providing a lot of the UFC fights pay-per-view to Sling TV subscribers, but now you don't even need to be a subscriber. You can come and do those pay-per-views. And the third thing that they're doing here is they're doing channels completely a la carte. So you can subscribe to some channels like Showtime, Outside TV, Dove Channel, Stingray, without subscribing to any base package at all. And boy, when you look at that, that looks an awful lot like the Amazon Channels approach. So I think this is a smart approach for them to take. And they're actually rolling it out in, I think, a pretty smart way as well. They're targeting people that have used Sling before and have canceled. So they're reaching out to those folks and they're saying, hey, why don't you go get on your Roku, reload the Sling app, log back in, and guess what? There's this whole bunch of stuff that you can watch for free. Oh, and you can do these pay-per-view movies and pay-per-view channels, and and watch this on-demand content. I guess it will be ad-supported. Sling says that right now the only platform that they're rolling this out on at the moment is Roku, but they plan on rolling it out across all of their footprint. So it's a really interesting evolution of the whole concept of the virtual MVPD. Putting value in it for non-subscribers is, I think, really a smart way to go, because that if they're using the app, then you've always got an opportunity to market one of the packages that you provide to them. I'm wondering if they're gonna go even further and at some point in the future let you actually start just subscribing to the bundles, the extra bundles of channels they have, but they probably have some licensing restriction there. But anyway, I think generally it's a pretty smart move. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think any strategy that provides a frictionless on-ramp for former subscribers to get re-engaged is smart. It's a good way to go. I'm not sure if I'm quite as enthusiastic about the strength of what they're offering for free. It's, as I understand it, it's only about 100 hours or so. I don't know that any of those shows are real, you know, sort of blockbuster shows that are really going to appeal. And there's also a lot of free content. I mean, if you've got a Roku, you have access to the Roku channel, which has tons of great movies and TV shows now, not to mention talking about YouTube and other services. So, you know, I think that it's definitely helpful for Sling. I don't know that it's going to be a game changer. What I think is more interesting potentially with Sling is that they continue to look more and more like an outlier when it comes to these virtual pay TV operators in not embracing broadcast channels as part of their service. So they have this unique model where you have to go put your own antenna up, then you buy one of their Air TV boxes, which has now been marked down to $50, so not a lot. And that Air TV box then gives you access to the broadcast channels within the Sling TV app. It's a little bit of a kludgy kind of approach, if you ask me. I think it cuts out a wide swath of the market that can't put up their own antennas, certainly cuts out urban dwellers right off the bat. And I, you know, most notably, it puts them in contrast with Hulu, with live TV, DirecTV Now, and YouTube TV, which have all been very aggressive, and Fubo for that matter, which have all been very aggressive in gathering up broadcast rights, incorporating those channels directly into their services. So I don't know. I mean, you get in for $25. So let's say you're saving $15 versus one of the other services, actually even less than that if you compare it to DirecTV Now and you're an AT&T Wireless Unlimited subscriber. We talked about that last week. That's the real bargain of all the services that are out there. But Sling has set up this sort of barrier where you've got to put up an antenna. And you know, they were the early mover in among skinny bundles, as you say, launching 4 years ago. I have a hunch that these other services are all going to be moving past them over the next couple of years.
Well, I can tell you, Will, that I do get the resistance to putting the antenna up. But, you know, the Air TV boxes, they work really well. They just put out a new box which doesn't have an interface at all. You just plug it into the wall, plug it into the antenna, and hook it up to your network, and you can watch all of those local channels on any of your devices. And the channels just get integrated into the Sling Guide, or you can watch it through the Air TV app. And I really like this. It works really well. I've been watching quite a lot of the Fox World Cup games using that, and it works great. I can watch both those local channels in and outside my home, which is really, really kind of cool. Yep. So I know the barrier to putting that antenna up is a problem for many, but when you think about the economics of it and the fact that it allows you to, if you're not an AT&T customer and you're not going with this watch TV thing that actually also doesn't include the broadcast channels, this is a pretty good option, and it allows you to spend considerably less than somebody else who wants to get their local channels and is opting to go through one of the virtual MVPDs that provide them. So I think it's, you know, it's an economics thing. If you're willing to go that little extra mile, get the antenna and point it at your local broadcasting tower, you get a big benefit. I think you end up with something that's significantly cheaper. And by the way, the picture is awesome. So
yeah, you know. no question on all that, Colin. And you know, certainly I think underscores the world that we live in now, which is that consumers just have lots and lots of different choices. So if you're into putting up an antenna and saving a little bit of money, then Air TV is absolutely the way. And you know, you can figure it all out, which of course is another issue, right? Not necessarily for the mainstream, but you know, that's a great approach. If you're looking for something a little bit more sort of packaged and one-stop shop, then you know, these other services, Hulu with Live and YouTube TV and DirecTV Now, those may be a little bit more appealing. But there's no question, we're in an age of consumer choice. And all of that, I think, Colin, sort of leads us to this other discussion that we just mentioned at the top of the podcast, which is that in the past, we thought of this idea of cord cutting as really the main paradigm for thinking about pay TV. Either you have it or you don't. And certainly the Magid research talks about the rising intention to cord cut, but it's offset by this new dynamic, which I think you and I kind of keep returning to on our podcast, which is this notion of the skinny bundles and the different choices. You know, here we're talking about Sling TV offers one model where you can get an Air TV. You have other choices with the other services. And I think increasingly the debate is going to be less around, do you have pay TV or not, but rather, who do you get pay TV from? Is it a traditional provider or is it from one of these internet providers? For people who don't value TV quite as much but are not ready to take the dramatic step of cutting it out entirely, are fine spending maybe anywhere from $25 to $50 a month, but are not fine spending anywhere between $75 and $100 a month, particularly for a bunch of channels that they don't watch any longer. And I just have a sense, Colin, that we're sort of moving more into that paradigm as skinny bundles cross 6 million, 7 million, 10 million subscribers in the coming year and years. I think that's going to be more the discussion that we're going to be having. What's your take?
So I think I broadly I agree with you, Will. I mean, look, I'm really struck by the Magid research and the fact that people say the number one reason that they moved away from traditional pay TV is because they don't watch enough TV.
Yeah.
And I think that is the telling piece of research that really, really points to the way we think about pay television is different now. The value in the big bundle is simply less for a lot of people because they don't watch it, they don't use it as much, and they don't have to subscribe anymore. I think what we're seeing is we're seeing a real blurring now of the difference between having a paid television subscription in the traditional sense and not having one. They're all really just becoming services, and you pick the service that best matches your needs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a light TV user could probably get away with something really light in a virtual MVPD like Sling, or they can do what I suspect a lot of people are doing, and that is that they sign up for one when there's something that they want, and then when it's done, they get rid of it again. And this, for example, this would be exactly what somebody might do for the World Cup. They want to see the World Cup. They have to have Fox and FS1 and FS2 to do that. So why not go in and sign up for Sling Blue for $25 a month or for a couple of months, watch all the World Cup you want, and then get rid of it. And so, you know, the way we're thinking about these services is just very different now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the counter point I would make to that is that absolutely World Cup could be the driver for signing up. But then you stop and realize that, you know, now that you've got a linear service again, you can watch the award shows, you can watch NFL football, you can watch broadcast. There's enough there on linear, I think, that might keep people from churning out. Again, because the price point is not considered egregious. You're not paying $100 a month, you're paying $30 a month or $40 a month. And I think that's sort of the new dynamic that's starting to unfold, is that we're seeing a reduction in the value in terms, we're seeing a reduction in the price point of pay TV, which I think is in turn reinvigorating some of the value prop of linear TV that has been lost to SVOD over these past several years. And I think it's going to be pretty interesting to see it unfold. I mean, I'm very curious what the Magid 2019 numbers are going to look like, for instance.
Yeah, you could bet they'll have shifted again, Will. But yeah, I mean, I think this blurring of the differences. It was funny because I was trying to think, do I consider myself a cord cutter now? I no longer have traditional pay television. And I think I probably do, but the truth is I'm still watching linear services, and I'm watching a lot right now with the World Cup. So maybe I'm not a cord cutter.
Yeah, and conversely, I no longer have Comcast, but I have YouTube TV, and I don't consider myself a cord cutter. I still very much consider myself a pay TV subscriber, just to a different type of service model.
Indeed, and very interesting to see how this evolves going forward. But you know, I think we're pretty much out of time, Will.
I think we are out of time, Colin, so we'll keep a close eye going forward. Hey, listen, enjoy the rest of the World Cup. I know you're pretty jazzed.
I certainly will.
And good luck to England. Thanks, everybody, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we're wishing all of you a happy 4th, and we'll see you again soon.